Hello and welcome back to another episode of Clark and Addison, Born into the Ivy. I'm your host, David Butler. This has been an odd week for us. The deadline did not bring the impact pitcher that we all hoped for, but Willie Castro and Andrew Kettridge have both been very impressive so far. We look forward to seeing Taylor Rogers, and tomorrow Mike Soroka will make his first start against the Reds. Remember, the best way to help grow the podcast is to listen to every episode, like the episode, share the episode with your friends, and if you have not yet, make sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Join our Facebook group at Clark and Addison Born into the Ivy, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Clark and Addison Born into the Ivy. Recaps, the Brewers series was not a great series against the Milwaukee Brewers for sure. We knew it was going to be a challenge, and I said, ultimately, we just needed to get one win. The Cubs did just that in Game 3 of the series, but got knocked around pretty good in the first two games. Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray were the starters, and the bullpen got knocked around pretty good as well, especially Ryan Pressly. After Tuesday, he had given up runs in four of his last five appearances. That's just not going to get it done. He ended up being DFA'd on Thursday as well. The offense has got to be better too, though. The defense as well. The first two games were kind of reminiscent of last week against the Royals. Just got beat in every facet of the game. The Orioles series, we pulled out a win, went in two out of three, but the bullpen struggled some more again. This time it was guys we are not used to struggling so much, though. Caleb Theobald gave up a three-run homer on Saturday to end up ultimately losing the game 4-3. And then today, Drew Palencia blew his first save since his very first save appearance and try back in May. It was also the first time he gave up a run in the last 5 weeks. Bad timing for both of those guys. And it's hard to blame them when the offense continually has opportunities to get runs. But we did take two out of three. We won three out of six this week and split. On Monday, the Chicago Cubs start a three-game series against the Reds on the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. The Reds come into the series 6-4 in their last 10, while the Cubs are 5-5. The Reds are currently the last team out of the playoffs, and the Cubs are 7.5 games ahead of them for the wild card spots. Cincinnati is a much better team at home than on the road, as they are currently 25-28 on the road this season. These two teams have played six times before this, and the Cubs are 4-2 so far, but this is not the same team that we played against back in May. Terry Francona has these boys playing much better than they were earlier in the year. Cincinnati has the 12th-ranked ERA in the majors on the road this season with a 3.89 ERA. They also have the 7th-best offense in the majors on the road this season, averaging 4.72 runs per game. The Reds' offense is led by the ever-dangerous Elly De La Cruz, who has an OPS of 850, along with Austin Hayes at 822. Also, I would be negligent if I did not talk about TJ Friedl. This guy is having a really good year with an on-base percentage of 371. For someone who does not slug much, his OPS isn't too damn bad either at 768. Oh, and he kills the Cubs. And I mean he kills the Cubs. Thanks Suarez, minus the major slugging. But he seems to slug more against us as well. Hopefully we can find a way to contain him. Their pitching staff is led by lefties Andrew Abbott and Nick Lodolo, along with a very good bullpen. Oh, and Brady Singer is all of a sudden pitching like he's Andrew Abbott in his last two starts as well. Expected starters for the week are as follows. Nick Lodolo versus Mike Soroka on Monday. Tuesday, Zach Littell versus, not announced yet, but I would guess Shota Imanaga. And Wednesday, Andrew Abbott versus unannounced as well. And given the way the starting rotation has been, I would guess Cade Horton for Wednesday. Anyone remember who I said their pitching staff is led by? Anyone remember how we fare against lefties? Andrew Abbott and Nick Lodolo? Abbott has gone 12 2/3 innings against us so far this season, and given up one run. Guess which two games the Reds won against us? Nick Lodolo has gone 11 innings and given up 3 runs, all in their first start, none in the second start. Zach Littell is a deadline deal that the Reds made and is a very good addition to this team. This will be a tough series for our Cubbies, and the offense has got to start getting hits with runners in scoring position. Speaking of our offense, since July 8th, the Twins series, this Cubs offense is sputtering and not coming up with big clutch hits nearly as often as they have earlier in the season. PCA with an OPS of 859, Carson Kelly of 828, Matt Shaw of an OPS of 844 are the only players on this team with an OPS over 800 since July 8th. To be fair, Nico Hoerner doesn't slug a bunch, but this dude is probably the team's hottest hitter and has an average of 316 in that same span. Kyle Tucker's on-base percentage is 386, which is really good, but he is not slugging and hasn't for quite some time. He looks uncomfortable and does make you wonder, is the guy hurt? If not, then what is making him struggle so much? To compound the issue, Michael Busch has an OPS of 529, Dansby Swanson at 542, and Seiya Suzuki at 536. And they all have a K percentage rate of 27.4% or higher. Swanson and Suzuki seem to strike out with runners in scoring position a ton as well. And both of them tend to strike out uncompetitively. Swanson swings at pitches 4 feet out of the zone. Seiya Suzuki just looks at pitches that are obviously in the zone. And just stares at them. Doesn't even move the bat. I know the pitching struggles, and I know the bullpen is struggling right now. But guys, Thielbar and Palencia can't always be perfect. Both the last 2 days, neither had given up a run until the last 2 days. The offense just won a series, averaging 3 runs per game in a 3-game set. That's great that we won, but we can't and won't keep up with the team up north if Michael Busch, Seiya Suzuki, and King Tuck specifically can't get back to where they were earlier in the season, or at least closer to it. What all of them are doing right now is just plain unacceptable. Ian Happ isn't doing a ton better, but he is doing better than he was. He still has an OPS in that time span under 700. The accountability for this offense needs to change, and they've got to do better if they are as good as they appeared. Willy Castro was a great addition, but he's not what these other players are. Something's got to change, and the sooner, the better. One more thing. My buddy Jason pointed out that he thought the Cubs were playing better on day games than night games. So I did some digging. At least on away games, I think he's right. At Wrigley Field, the Cubs are 17-6 during the evening games and 18-14 during day games. On the road, though, they are 18-18 during night games and 12-8 during day games. Something to think about and be aware. Don't forget to join our Facebook group at Clark and Addison, Born Into the Ivy, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Clark and Addison, Born Into the Ivy. Leave some posts or comments in there about what you'd like to hear or what you thought about today's episode. However you subscribe to your podcast, please like and subscribe to Clark and Addison, Born Into the Ivy, so you don't miss out on any of our future episodes. Also, if you feel so inclined, please make sure to leave a 5-star review and leave me some comments. If you are enjoying this podcast, make sure to tell and share it with any of your friends who might be a Cubs or baseball fan. Have a great day, and let's go Cubs. Paisley, send them home.
Go Cubs, go!
Living on the water down in basins last summer. Yeah.